I don't care what anyone says. Nobody. All I care about is the players in that locker room, the coaches upstairs, Mr. McNair, Cal McNair, their families, the support staff. I could care less about what anyone says. That's not my job. That's your job. My job is to coach the team to the best of my ability, and that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, that certainly sounds like a man who does not care what all of us peons in the media think about the 3-3 Texans as we're into the 7 o'clock hour on Mad Radio.
Is there ever anything that's less often true than somebody saying they don't care what somebody else does or says or thinks?
Like, it's got to be in the top five.
It's usually, sometimes people are genuinely true about it, but usually it's somebody trying to convince themselves that they don't care.
And the way it sounds, let's go to the hotline right now, the Byers Barricades hotline. The Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is also a writer for The Athletic. I heard him on Sirius XM driving in this morning. Ross Tucker on Mad Radio. Ross, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm with Seth. Me thinks he doth protest too much.
Yes, exactly.
Most of the time when people go out of their way to tell you that they don't care, it's because they really do. And they don't want you to know that they care. Or I'd say maybe I'll do thirds. A third of the time, they don't want you to know how much they care. A third of the time, they're trying to convince themselves. Maybe a third of the time, they really don't care. So maybe he's in that third. I don't know. Maybe he was just mad about my tweet on Sunday in which I said, this is when the Jags and the Titans were both getting smoked. I don't know if you guys saw this. At Ross Tucker NFL, I said that the Houston Texans are 2 hours away from being in first place in the AFC South, which is borderline embarrassing for the NFL.
Whoa. Don't let Taylor Lewan hear you say that. Because Taylor Lewan, I don't know if he still wants all the national attention from when apparently they were the best team in the world with a 3-1 record. I'm with you, Paul. I'm with you, Ross. I feel like the AFC South has let me down once again. I feel like in this long history of letting me down, that I don't know if it stinks, but it's incredibly mediocre.
I think it's probably going to end up being the worst division, which I was not expecting that. You know, I mean, I thought Jacksonville would have a nice team. They've had two really bad games in a row where they've gotten destroyed. The Titans lost at Buffalo, which is bad, although the Texans almost lost to the Bills. And then the Titans got humbled at home by the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, 11 sacks. I don't know how much you guys got a chance to see that game, but it was ugly. So now you've got three 3-3 teams, which on the surface, their record isn't that bad. But when you consider how it's happened with the back-to-back losses for both the Titans and the Jags, and then how the Texans have somehow won three straight, it's amazing. I mean, you guys obviously watch it. It's one of the weakest three-game winning streaks I've ever seen. And here's the thing. You never have to apologize for winning. And there are teams that have great success in the NFL by winning ugly, by finding a way to win. But, guys, I mean, I watched that game. I mean, that was brutal. And really, there's about a million different reasons why the Texans found a way to win. And I'd say the special teams are probably the biggest part of it. But I can't imagine anybody around there, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, is actually feeling like good about the Texans right now.
I think the amount of we put out a tweet on the station yesterday asking people exactly how they felt about Bill O'Brien, and luckily Bill O'Brien doesn't care what those dozens and dozens of people said, because hey, it's exactly what you said. It's such an ugly three-game win streak versus teams like the Buffalo Bills that you just there's so much that goes wrong within any particular game, including in that game. What I want to ask you about is, Ross, have you ever been on a team that just can't get the snap count right? It seems like half the offsides on the Texans are because the center doesn't snap the ball on time. Or you just have these, you can almost set your watch by an offsides penalty down when they're on the goal line. Why does this happen?
I have no idea, especially at home. You know, sometimes if you're trying to switch up the snap count, maybe they're trying to, pull an Aaron Rodgers and get the defense to jump so they can take a shot to Will Fuller or something. But that doesn't work unless your guys are disciplined or your guys know what they are doing. I mean, look, the Bills have a pretty solid front. But not like that, guys. I mean, not to be embarrassing the Texans up front at home like that. And I thought it was Deshaun's worst game of the year. Maybe you guys disagree. His pocket presence is getting concerning. His ball security. I'm amazed. I mean, I guess give some credit to their defense during this stretch for finding a way to win. And look, the Cowboys, you know, have a third win. The Bills already have two wins. It's not like they're beating terrible teams. It's just, it's mind-boggling how they've won these last three games. I mean, starting with Frank Reich giving them a win that really should have been a tie, as we all know.
The Texans obviously have their warts. The Jaguars and Titans do as well. Of those three teams, which team should be most concerned about the issues they're currently dealing with? We just saw the Titans in that $140 million offensive line give up 11 sacks. Blake Bortles is Blake Bortlesing again. And as you just mentioned, Deshaun Watson seems to be regressing.
Well, are you talking about for this season, or are you talking about like moving forward for
their franchises?
The last
10 games of this season, who should be most concerned? Because it does feel like all three of these teams are very, very flawed.
For the last 10 games.
Right.
Yeah, man, I guess I'll say the Titans because I have more faith that the Jags will actually turn it around and still win this division and make the playoffs. But I don't know. I guess you could argue coming into the year, the Jags actually had really high hopes. I don't think the Texans or the Titans realistically did. So maybe you say it's the Jags. I don't think they're going anywhere with the way they're playing the last couple of weeks. And then you've got the Texans who, the shame of it is, they've got a lot of good players in their prime, and it feels like they're wasting it. I don't know. They're not going to be able to do anything about it this year. They can do everything they can to try to improve the offensive line for next year. Maybe they can make a run next year, but you're really running out of time with the combination of Deshaun Watson's rookie contract where he's, you know, below market value and the prime of guys like Clowney, Merciless, Watt, Hopkins. You know, this is kind of their window. Next year, the year after, they better make some major moves on the offensive line and better improve, because I really feel like 2019 and 2020 are the best chances the Texans have to do something really special, really for a long time for the city of Houston.
And we feel the same way about the rest of the way for this Texans season. And this week against the Jaguars on the road, that's going to be tough to win, even with the Jaguars having their issues, especially defensively. But the next 3 weeks, Blake Bortles, possibly Brock Osweiler or Ryan Tannehill, and then Case Keenum, if he's even still the starter. That's the next three games for the Texans, who just had a very unimpressive three-game win streak. I mean, I'm wondering if another unimpressive three-game win streak is in the works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to go down to Jacksonville and win. The Jags just got smoked back-to-back games on the road, just kind of like the way the NFL works. I mean, I had this was my hard-hitting analysis last week on the podcast, and I don't know why the NFL works this way. It just did. I said, look, the Patriots are going to beat the Chiefs, and I'm not going to give you any X's, no's, reasons, or whatever, because I'm just telling you the way the NFL works, and I'm not waking up Monday morning with the Chiefs still on the feet and the Patriots having three losses. That's just not how it works. It's just not going to happen. And I felt the same way about the Bengals and the Steelers. I'm like, look, I think the Bengals might be the better team. They're playing at home. But the Steelers are going to somehow win this game because the Bengals are not running away with the division in the AFC North at 5-1. And the Steelers are not waking up, you know, on Monday morning with 2-3-1 and kind of out of it, because that's just not the way the NFL works. I don't care what you call it, law of averages, regression of the mean, whatever you want to call it. That's just how the NFL is, and that's why I'm telling you, I am going to bet heavily that the Jaguars beat the Texans on Sunday. Heavily.
I probably would as well. Ross Tucker joining us on Mad Radio. I'm going to give you four teams, Ross. This is from a friend of mine who does a show in St. Louis. The Chiefs, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Rams. Beyond those four teams, again, Kansas City, New England, New Orleans, and the Rams, can you trust any of the other NFL teams to show up on every single Sunday?
No, I don't think you can. And I think you could argue with some of the games the Patriots have played that you couldn't even trust them to show up every single Sunday. I guess the other teams I like right now, I'm actually just doing my power rankings right now for the podcast. I like the Ravens a lot. I don't know what happened when they played in Cleveland, but I still think, the Ravens defense is by far the best in the NFL. They're not just the best in the NFL. They're by far the best in the NFL. I still think the Bengals, you know what? I'll take that back. I think the Bengals have showed up every week, haven't they? I mean, they lost the Steelers. But I think they've still shown up every week so far this year. And now the other teams, I think Vikings kind of have their mojo going a little bit. The Chargers. Now, you can never count on the Chargers show up every week. That's never happened in the history of man. But the Chargers are playing well right now. So you're probably right, although I would maybe throw the Ravens and the Bengals in the mix.
If you're going to look at the Texans right now, like what's the ceiling for this team right now? Because you talked about earlier how much actual like star players they have in their prime, and they're just not able to capitalize it on it right now. You also look at the fact that they've been able to move the ball down into the red zone. They just hit a brick wall when they get into the red zone. Where could you see them going if things actually start clicking?
This year or over the next few years?
I'd say this year.
So this year, I can see them winning the division. I don't think that's going to happen, but in terms of ceiling, I can absolutely see them getting a 9-7, maybe 10-6, winning the division. But I feel like they are definitely a step below the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Ravens, the Bengals, maybe even the Chargers and Steelers. I don't really envision them winning a playoff game. I mean, they would host one of those teams in a playoff game, and I think it'd be kind of like it used to be with the Texans, where some other team comes in and beats them in the wild card game that the Texans host because they're in the AFC South, and you know some AFC North team probably comes in and beats them just because that's the way it is. That's kind of what I feel like their ceiling is, because they don't want to play the Ravens. With their offensive line, they don't want to play the Ravens. I can tell you that much right now. I think some of these other teams, and then like the Patriots and the Chiefs and the Chargers, I don't think they can score with.
If they play the Ravens in the playoffs, I would prophylactically bench Deshaun Watson.
We're gonna bring
Deshaun in midway through the fourth quarter if the game is close.
Exactly. Ross, we'll chat next week. Thank you.
All right, see you guys.
Ross Tucker, check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, his Twitter account as well, Ross Tucker NFL. He writes for The Athletic as well, and he is on Sirius XM NFL Radio also. So a man of many hats is our friend Ross Tucker, weekly at 7 o'clock on Tuesdays